There are some, sometimes, who have questions about the holidays. Where did holidays come from? Why do we even have holidays at all, you might say? And someone might say, well, I know why we have holidays, to give me a break. But then we make such a big to-do about them, we don't get much of a break, do we? But that's really what was originally intended by holidays. If you go back and you look at holidays in the Bible, we can see that historically they were supposed to be religious days, days of rest that were given for the people, days of celebration and feasting and things along that line. And so the Bible does talk about holidays to some degree. And let's turn to Romans chapter 14 and verses 5 and 6 and just read a couple of verses here to get our minds thinking along these lines. The Apostle Paul says, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord. And he who, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and gives God thanks. What is Paul talking about in these verses? Well, he's talking about certain days that were observed and celebrated by some in the culture to whom he is writing, and particularly in this book of the New Testament, he's writing to Romans, and there were some among the Romans who were Jewish, and there were some who were not Jewish in this particular congregation. And so there were some who were observing certain days as they desired to observe those days. A Jewish person would want to rest on the Sabbath day. He would not want to work on that day. He would also want to celebrate certain feasts four times a year. The Jews were called to come to Jerusalem to observe different feasts of one kind or another. And he might want to observe those days. The Romans also had certain days that they celebrated and they took off. And there might be a Gentile Christian in the church at Rome who wanted to celebrate some of those days and take off some days and relax during those times. And so Paul says, you know, observing a day, one day or another, is, you know, one person can observe a day, another person may not observe the day, and that's fine. And we don't draw lines of fellowship over whether or not we're going to observe holidays. It's up to each person individually whether or not they're going to do that. And there are numerous holidays during the year. We have New Year's Day. There are days that we take personally to observe birthdays and things like that. There's Good Friday. There's the Easter holiday. There's Memorial Day. There's 4th of July, Labor Day, Thanksgiving, and the one we're about to observe, Christmas here, and then New Year's Day after that. There's also special days that we observe to remember great people in society, such as President's Day or Martin Luther King Jr. Day or days like that. And those days, some of them are secular and some of them are have been religious in nature. And so what do we make of all of these different holidays of one sort or another? Well, under the Old Testament, we see that there were some mandatory holidays for the Jewish people. There was Passover in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 16, and they were to observe that on a yearly basis. There was the weekly Sabbath rest, Exodus 20 and verse 8. There was the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, and the feast that surrounded that. That was a yearly observation. The Day of Atonement was a yearly observation, Leviticus 23 and verse 27. The Feast of Booths or Tabernacles was a yearly holiday, Leviticus 23 and verse 34. And then there was the Year of Jubilee, which was observed every 50 years. A Sabbath of Sabbaths, it was called. And they took the whole year off that year. Wouldn't you like to do that sometime, huh? Every 50 years, just take the whole year off, and everybody in society is not working? That might be interesting, huh? But that's what they did in Israel. Well, today, our society recognizes certain religious holidays as well, such as Christmas and Easter, and Jewish people celebrate Hanukkah and other religions celebrate other religious holidays. Society's recognition of a holiday, though, doesn't necessarily constitute that we must observe such a day religiously. And I think that's a distinction that we need to offer within our minds, is that just because society observes this day as a religious holiday doesn't necessarily mean we would observe this day as a religious holiday. There may be some religious holidays that are observed by, for example, Jewish people that we would not observe because we're Gentiles. So we wouldn't celebrate the Day of Atonement, but they might. But non-religious holidays are probably more prominent in our society today, such as birthdays of famous people, or Columbus Day, or Labor Day, or Memorial Day, Veterans Day. There's New Year's Day and Valentine's Day and the 4th of July and, of course, Thanksgiving. And many of these holidays are just kind of secular type holidays. But what does the New Testament say about religious holidays? Does the New Testament say that we've got to observe a particular religious day? Does the New Testament demand that we celebrate Christmas Day as the birth of Jesus, for example? Does the New Testament demand that we celebrate Easter once a year as the day of resurrection for Jesus? Well, the New Testament does authorize us to give honor to whom honor is due and custom to whom custom is due. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. And we are supposed to honor all men. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 says, and so when we might celebrate notable days or special birthdays or military sacrifice or certain society achievements, civil right achievements, things like that, those days might be observed under the principle of Romans 13 and verse 7, to give honor to whom honor is due, or 1 Peter 2 and verse 17, to honor all men to a certain degree. And so there is some biblical authority for respecting some holidays. And we are certainly authorized and we're supposed to respect the government. Romans 13 and verse 1 says that we are to be in submission to the higher authorities and subject ourselves to the ordinances of men, 1 Peter 2 and verse 13. And so we have days that are mandated by our government as holidays, such as New Year's Day, or the 4th of July, or Thanksgiving Day. Most of these holidays are mandated as time off. And the government certainly grants time off to its workers to observe these days, and Christians have a right to participate in observing the benefits of such practices. Well, the government's legislation of religious holidays, however, would not necessarily mandate that the Christian would observe such a holiday as a religious event. And why would that be? Because the government is not the highest authority when it comes to religious matters. The Word of God is, and God is, for that matter. And so, what if we lived in a country that mandated that we observe a particular holiday that would be religious, such as in one of the Muslim countries, perhaps? No doubt, the government mandates observation of those particular days. Well, the Christian would just have to simply say, well, I'm going to take the day off if nobody's going to be at work, but I'm not necessarily going to observe this religious holiday with everyone else. He would have to refuse to participate in those kinds of religious holidays. For example, the early Christians refused to participate in holidays that were related to the worship of Caesar. And there was one particular day of the year when when the whole Roman Empire was called to come and offer a sacrifice to Caesar as a god. And you sprinkled a little incense and you offered that incense as a sacrifice and you took the day off. Well, Christians did not participate in that religious holiday because it involved the sin of idolatry. And we certainly must obey God rather than men. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. More so than that, the Christian has been given one particular day of the week that he is supposed to observe as a holy day. And that day is, of course, the first day of the week. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, the Bible says that upon the first day of the week, they came together to break bread. And so in that particular context, the Bible is teaching us that every first day of the week, we are to observe the Lord's Supper, and we are to thereby recognize the holy nature of that supper in remembering the death of Jesus and the offering of His body and His blood upon the cross. And so the first day of the week is the only holy day that the Christian is authorized wherein he must participate. And that is not an option. It is a commandment. 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 and 2 tells us that they came together upon the first day of the week. Revelation 1 and verse 10 says that that day was the Lord's day. It was set aside to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we read in Romans chapter 14 and verses 5 and 6, all other religious holidays are up to the individual to observe those things. If an individual wants to observe a day, then he is welcome to observe that day. If he does not want to participate in that, then he does not have to participate in that. There are no obligations on the part of a Christian to participate in any holiday other than to participate in partaking of the Lord's Supper upon the first day of the week. And these days are not commanded as Christian practice. Look at Galatians chapter 4 and verses 9 through 11 for just a moment, because there were some in the churches of Galatia who were saying, why, you have to observe certain days, and you have to observe these holidays, or else you're not faithful to God. But notice what Paul says here in Galatians chapter 4 and verses 9 through 11. He says, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. And so Paul is basically saying there, in this context, that the teachers who had come to the churches of Galatia had bound, that is, they had commanded that certain days be observed. And Paul is saying, no, that's not the case. Observing these days is not a command. And when we do that, we actually are stepping away from the gospel of Christ, and we are seeking to be justified based upon our own works. And that's what the thrust of the book of Galatians is about. But of course, in the book of Romans, Paul says, there's one who does and there's one who doesn't. Let each man be convicted in his own conscience, is what he was talking about there. But in Galatians, he's talking about those who would say it is a command. And so, when we think about these religious days and holidays, we need to keep both of these passages in mind, both Romans chapter 14, verses 5 and 6, and Galatians chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. Now, some may be saying, well, what about Christmas and Easter specifically? And they may be wanting to know a little bit about those particular days. Perhaps out of all of the holidays, those are the two that provoke the most thought from Christian people. And many religious folks observe these days as religious days of worship. The Bible does not say that either Christmas Day or Easter Day is supposed to be observed as a religious holiday. You can look through it from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, and you're not going to find any scripture that says to observe December 25th as the birthday of Jesus Christ. Now, that's what the world does, and that's what a lot of religious people do. But the Bible does not comment on that, and there's no obligation to do that. In fact, if we were to say, you must observe December 25th as the birthday of Christ, then we would be going in direct contradiction to what the Apostle Paul criticized those in Galatia as doing in Galatians 4, commanding that particular days be observed. That is justification of by works. That is not justification by faith. And those who would command such a thing really don't understand the Bible teaching in that regard. And so we find no authority in the New Testament to observe the birthday of Jesus as a holy or religious day in worship to God. You're just not going to find it. Now, the birth of Jesus was a wonderful event, and we should celebrate the birth of Jesus by living our lives in faithfulness to Him each and every day. If you want to celebrate the birth of Jesus, do it. But don't do it just on December 25th. Do it every single day of your life by living for Jesus. And understand that we can think about and celebrate the birth of Jesus all year round, not just on Christmas Day, as many do. Also, when we think about Easter, many people just celebrate Easter as the day that Jesus was raised from the dead, and they don't think about it any other time of the year. Well, the Bible says that we are supposed to remember Jesus and His resurrection every single first day of the week when we observe the Lord's Supper. You know, one of the things that the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is that we partake of these emblems until He comes. And we are to look forward to His coming. And the implication of that is that Jesus was in fact raised from the dead and that He's coming back again. And so as we remember His body and as we remember His blood and the sacrifice that He made on the cross, we understand that He did not die to stay in the tomb, but He came forth from the grave and He's coming back. And we remember that as well. And so celebrating the resurrection of Jesus is also not for just one day out of the year, but rather for every single Sunday when we observe the Lord's Supper. So how ought we to handle such questions when someone asks us, well, do you observe Christmas Day as the birthday of Jesus Christ? Well, let's look and think about Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. Notice what Paul says. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul is saying in this verse that the world is going to do a lot of things that the Christian is not called to do. In fact, it's going to be the case that the world is going to try to transform you. But instead, it is the Christian's job to be transformed in mind to God and transform the world. We don't want to be conformed to the world. We don't want to be part of the world. We want to be distinctive as Christians. We want others to know that we're Christians. And we want them to understand that we believe what the Bible teaches specifically as Christians. And what does that mean? It means that we've got to be justified by faith in Christ Jesus, not that we go off and do whatever we want to do to celebrate however we want to celebrate in whatever way that we think we ought to do it. So, and to be justified by faith in Christ Jesus means listening to the words of Christ and doing what the Bible teaches. Just as Paul criticized the Galatians for celebrating days and seasons as a matter of command, so also we would be criticized if we commanded certain days and seasons to be celebrated when the Bible didn't command such. So what does that mean? It means that our worship needs to be according to the Lord's will. It's not according to our own self-righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 10 and verses 1 through 3. Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. And so as a Christian, what am I supposed to do? I am supposed to submit myself to God's righteousness, not to my own righteousness. And going about and saying, well, I've got to observe this particular day as a religious holiday in order to be a Christian, is not submitting to God's righteousness. It's submitting to my own righteousness is what it's doing. And that is something that the Christian is not supposed to do. Again, that's justification by works. It's not justification by faith in Christ Jesus. And so when we have certain days that others celebrate and say, are you going to celebrate such and such day, whether it's Christmas or Easter or whatever? Our answer ought to be, well, does the Word of God say I need to celebrate that day? And if the answer is no, then I don't celebrate that day as a matter of religious compulsion. And that's something that I wouldn't do based upon faith in Christ Jesus, because I don't justify myself by my own works. I'm justified by faith. But what if I wanted to do this and it wasn't in contradiction to God's Word? What if I wanted to celebrate a particular day as a fun day for me and my family to get together and to engage in the spirit of giving and to appreciate the fact that we have a wonderful, loving family and that we desire to express that love to each other through gift giving and things of that nature? What if I enjoy the sights and the sounds of the holidays and I enjoy the beauty that's associated with the lights and the various decorations and things of that nature, and I want to be involved in those activities? Well, that then falls under what Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. One celebrates a day, and he can do that. And another doesn't celebrate the day, and that person can do that as well. And that's up to us. As long as we're not commanding that such and such a day be celebrated religiously as a command of God, then we can be involved in that. Just as those Jews in Rome, in the church at Rome, were involved in continuing to celebrate the Sabbath day and perhaps other Jewish religious holidays as a way of honoring their heritage and as a way of involving themselves in their culture, they continued to do that. And Paul said that's just fine, as long as we don't make it a matter of command and bind it on other people. And so, simply because the Bible does not say we must celebrate Christmas or Easter does not necessarily imply that we cannot participate in some of the non-religious type activities that are associated with those days. There is a difference between that which is secular and that which is religious, between the holy and the common. Acts chapter 10 and verses 14 and 15 says, and because of that, we can make a distinction between those things. We can be involved in common things that are not holy, and we can involved in secular things that are not religious. And provided that the secular matters do not involve us in sinful activity, we can then have all things. All things are yours, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 21 through 23. All good blessings come from God. James chapter 1 and verse 17. God gives us richly all things to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. And all things are lawful. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23. But in participating in those things and in enjoying the things that God has created and given to us, we must discern and use discernment between what is right and wrong. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. Well, we've only touched upon a few matters, and perhaps some of these things have raised more questions in your mind. And if you do have an additional question that you would like to ask about the holidays or anything that was said during the lesson, we have a question box in our foyer, and I would be happy to address those concerns. We have question and answer night every first Sunday of the month, and I pick some questions out of that box and seek to answer those. And you can certainly ask those questions further if you'd like to discuss it further. If you'd like to come by the office and talk about these things with me, I'd be very happy to discuss it with you. Our aim this morning has simply been to provide some principles from the Scriptures to guide us and to help us as we go through various different holidays throughout this year. And in this regard, we need to recognize that we have no Bible authority to legislate such events, to observe such events religiously as worship activities, to cause our brother to stumble, or to conform ourselves to the world. And those are the principles that we use in order to seek to understand how we can be involved with just about any activity that the world has going on that is good and wholesome and that we can, in fact, participate in. We also do have authority to recognize the first day of the week as a holy day and to participate in that day as we observe the Lord's Supper. We have authority to honor all men. We have authority to remember the resurrection of Jesus and the birth of Jesus at any time of the year. We have the authority to render custom to where custom is due and to respect the government. And we have authority to recognize the difference between that which is secular and that which is religious. And then finally, to enjoy the wonderful blessings and gifts of God at any time during the year. And so, I know perhaps that this may raise some questions in some minds, but as we go forward, let's let this principle sink into us. And that is that as a people of God, we need to be justified by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. And what does that mean? It means that we look to God's Word to lead us, to guide us, and to direct us. And we follow God's Word in what we try to do each and every day. Not going seeking to be established by our own righteousness, but rather submitting to the righteousness of God. And if there's anyone who needs to do that this morning in regard to being a child of God, Jesus says, "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." How does Jesus give that rest? He speaks to us through His Word, and we listen, and then we believe what He tells us, and we repent of our sins, and we confess Jesus as Lord. And to become a child of God, we're baptized for the forgiveness of sins. We're born into the body, into the kingdom of God, into the body of Christ as a person who is now a Christian. And we live faithfully for Him each and every day. And if you need to become a child of God this morning, we invite you to do just that. If you need the prayers of the church for whatever reason, sometimes the holiday seasons can be difficult and they can stir up in people's minds some thoughts that are hard to endure. And so sometimes people need extra prayer during the holiday season. And if that's your case, then now would be a good opportunity to express your desire as well. And whatever your need may be, won't you come while we stand and sing?